Welcome, everyone, to Football Garbage Time's Week 5 podcast. My name is Hakun Wong. I'm the editor-in-chief of footballgarbagetime.com. With me today are senior staff writers Ryan Whitfield and Joey Alibro. So, tell me, guys, how are you all doing? Ryan, you doing better this week now that the Pats are back to playing football?
Yeah, I am. It was a good game this week, and made Sundays a little better for me.
Excellent. And Joey, great last-second win for the Giants this week, getting you to the first in NFC East, which is surprising considering their start. Everything right in the world for you for now?
Oh, yeah, feeling great. I got a little nervous there at the end, but Eli and the rest of the team pulled it out, so I'm feeling good.
Yeah, I almost feel like he created his own drama there by actually throwing the interception and at the end of the first half, and then setting up a situation for him to drive down and win at the end. I almost feel like he likes to be in that situation so much that he decided, you know what, I just can't have the lead right now. I just got to make sure that it's fun for everybody. It's time to get back to the podcast. We got tons of stuff to talk about today. Let me just preview a few of the things. I know that this is that time of the year that everyone's focused on the baseball playoffs, as I am right now, since I'm a Cubs fan, and the Cubs have a shot at fulfilling the Back to the Future prediction that they win the World Series this year. But we got plenty of NFL news to talk about from Week 5. And today we discuss the tragedy that befell the Kansas City Chiefs and how they'll make it through the rest of the season. We're also going to discuss whether stud QBs Drew Brees and Peyton Manning have finally fallen off a cliff, and a lot more as we hit our new Jump the Snap segment with some rapid-fire questions. So starting off with our first topic, and that's the Kansas City Chiefs. On Sunday, the Kansas City Chiefs suffered a terrible loss to the then 1-3 Chicago Bears, leaving them at 1-4 and basically at the bottom of their division. And as bad as that was, the worst news of that was that they lost Jamaal Charles to an ACL tear, non-contact injury as he was running the ball in the red zone, a real blow to a Kansas City Chiefs that had been suffering on offense a little bit and really could have used the boost that Jamaal Charles gave them. So with that said, Ryan, any thoughts on that? Are the Kansas City Chiefs a viable team going forward? Can they survive without Jamaal Charles, or are they destined for the cellar?
I would say that they were destined for the cellar from the get-go. This is what happens when your best offensive weapon on your team is a running back. So it's unfortunate. Jamal's a great player. Definitely hurt one or two of my fantasy teams. So, I'll be lamenting it. But at the end of the day, in the modern day of football, this is, running backs can't take that punishment anymore. Players are too big, too fast, too strong. And then you have the non-contact injuries. And when you factor in that, that's pretty much their entire offense anyways, it's gonna be a long year, but it's time to go into the bottom and find Alex Smith's replacement if I'm Kansas City.
So what about their passing game? They still got Travis Kelce there, the kind of preseason darling at tight end. They got Jeremy Maclin, the big offseason acquisition from the Philadelphia Eagles. You think they have a chance to make it if they just stick to passing the ball?
No, I mean, they still get Alex Smith at quarterback, who's an above-average game manager, but game manager nonetheless. Travis Kelce, I'm drawing a blank who said it, but, they called him, one of the early games this year, someone called him a four-man's Gronkowski, which I completely agree with. And Jeremy Maclin was a system player. It's kind of the same thing we talked about with Stills last week. I think Jeremy Maclin benefited from an up-paced offense that was kind of revolutionary there for a little bit. But he's kind of come back. The water's kind of come back to level now. So,
right. So just so you know, Travis Kelce was actually called Baby Gronk, not quite a poor man's Gronk, but it's true that a Baby Gronk is not quite as good as full man Gronk, who obviously can destroy defenders at will. But Travis Kelce hasn't really lived up to billing. Other than a first week breakout, he hasn't really lived up to the billing that he had in the preseason and all the hype that was surrounded him as being a breakout player. Joey, any thoughts about the Kansas City Chiefs and whether they can survive this devastating loss of Jamaal Charles?
Yeah, I definitely agree with Ryan. They're destined for the cellar here. They were 1-3 coming to the game with Charles. Granted, those were against some tough teams. They lost to Denver by 7. They lost to they lost to Cincinnati and Green Bay. So those are three great teams. So I figured maybe they had a chance at the wild card spot. But losing Charles here, he's coming into the his season stats are 364 yards, 5.1 average per carry, 4 touchdowns. He was their entire offense, really. Alex Smith, I've never liked the guy. I mean, I don't think he's ever proved himself to me, at least. So I don't think he's going to be able to carry this 1-4 Chiefs team minus Jamaal Charles anywhere.
Yeah, so it's interesting because, you know, I was looking at the numbers, and it looks to me that there's a little bit of a strange misconception that Kansas City actually is a little bit of a running team. If you look at the way it breaks down, they actually are 15th in the NFL on passing attempts and only 17th in the NFL on rushing attempts. So they really have been more of a balanced offense, kind of a little bit favoring passing the ball. Now, they're not scoring that way. They're definitely scoring on the ground, but it certainly is the issue. I think the biggest problem here is that their offensive line is really terrible. I mean, Jamaal Charles is an extraordinary running back, and it's an even more extraordinary when you look at what's happening on the offensive line. If you look at what has happened so far up to this point, that offensive line has allowed the most sacks in the NFL, tied with the Seahawks offensive line, 22, and that has been the cause of losing 122 yards due to those sacks. And that's something that the Chiefs can't do. I mean, they're going to have to shore up that offensive line if they want any chance of actually succeeding this year. I agree with both of you that they are probably destined for the cellar, but the NFC looks particularly weak. If you look up and down there, I mean, there is actually the possibility that if they win half their games, that they might actually qualify for a wild card, which would be just absolutely atrocious, but it's possible. Now, the two people who will be taking the place of Jamaal Charles are Nile Davis and Charcantrick West. Ryan, any thoughts on those two guys?
Yeah, you know, I think we saw some flashes from Davis last year, so it'd be interesting to see if he can, continue it. But I think it's going to be kind of a committee, kind of play the hot hand kind of thing for them going down the line. And I don't think Kansas City's offensive line are, one of the best offensive lines in football. But coming from a place here where I've seen some not so great offensive lines made to look really well, that's another complaint about Alex Smith is he doesn't get the ball out quick enough. So, you can put some of the onus on the offensive line, or you can say they're passing the ball too much and they have a quarterback who doesn't know how to get the ball out quick enough and make good enough pre-snap reads. So, again, I think it just all comes back to it doesn't really matter who they put in there. They're gonna struggle the rest of the season.
Okay, and Joey, do you have any thoughts on their ground game with Nile Davis and Charcantrick West kind of bringing it up since Jamaal Charles is now going to be missing the rest of the season?
Nile Davis definitely looks good, showed some flashes at the end of the season last year. He's no Jamaal Charles, granted, but they'll combine for about 100 yards a game, by committee. I wouldn't be surprised if they brought somebody else in. They've been connected to Ray Rice. That's been shot down, of course.
right.
For the other team.
Yeah, it's interesting to me because, there's been a lot of talk about Charcantrick West. And, Andy Reid came out a few days ago, maybe yesterday, and actually said that he thought that West had a similar skill set to Charles. And I thought that Davis was more of a between-the-tackles runner, which, I don't know if I necessarily buy that. I actually never thought of Davis as a between-the-tackles runner. I thought of him as actually more of a three-down back. I mean, last year when he took over for Charles for three games while Charles had an injury, he had 318 yards on 70 carries and 3 touchdowns with a 4.54 yards per carry average. I thought he was actually really good stepping in as Jamaal Charles. And coming into the season, I kind of felt like he was one of the premier kind of backups for Charles. So I was very, in the NFL, I should say. And so I was very surprised to hear all this hype surrounding Charcantrick West and his ability to kind of dance and so on and so forth. So with that said, I agree with both of you. I don't think it matters. I think it will be a running back by committee. It's a terrible loss for the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't think they're going to be able to survive this either. But who knows? Who knows? Stranger things have happened. So moving on to our second topic of the day. Stud quarterbacks are getting increasingly hard to rely on due to injuries, which we discussed a little bit last week and the week before. Tony Romo and Ben Roethlisberger are two that we specifically discussed who have been out for many weeks and will be out for a few more weeks to come. But let's turn to two who are actually playing, or at least we think they're playing, and that's Drew Brees and Peyton Manning. Two quarterbacks that if we were to go back in time and have this conversation 2 years ago, would be of the most feared in the NFL. But these marquee players look just downright awful now. They look really, really terrible. I'm wondering if they're really only good in name only. So is it time to move on, or is it stay the course for these two? Joey, do you have any thoughts on that?
This is sad for me. I've been watching these two guys since I was a kid, so seeing progress like they have the past five games starting the season, it's tough. Peyton's definitely not his usual self. He's only got 6 touchdowns compared to 7 interceptions through 5 games. Granted, his team is 5-0, but that's with a really, really stout defense. Breeze, he's only played 3 games, but you can definitely see the wear and tear on him through the years. He's got 6 touchdowns, 3 picks, 1,300 yards in 3 games. That's not bad, but it's definitely not the Breeze we're used to seeing. With all that said, I think these two teams really need to start looking towards the future in this next coming draft with the quarterbacks coming out, Connor Cook, Hackenberg, I think his name is, from Penn State. So they need to start looking for the future.
And Ryan, do you have any thoughts on both Peyton Manning and Drew Brees? Do you think it's time to move on, or do you think to stay the course and they'll still be successful?
Yeah, in Denver, I would stay the course. I think that they've done a good job of building enough players around Peyton. It's kind of similar to, what was it, 97 and 98, when, you know, L.A., you know, who obviously is building the team, L.A. on his way out, having Terrell Davis, and, you know, he wasn't a major part of that team. That's kind of how they built it in Denver. Denver knew what they were getting into when they signed Manning a couple years back. And for as much as Manning has regressed skill-wise, the mental part of the game is still there. His pregame snap reads are still as good as they ever were. He's still, you know, a general out there who can march the team up and down and make the plays when he needs to. And for as bad as he's been stats-wise this year, he's had a couple really nice clutch drives at the end of the game. And that's coming from somebody who has fought the Brady versus Manning debate my entire life. So, I think it's stay the course for them. I think eventually they'll have to turn over the keys and we'll have to see if Osweiler can do it maybe after this year. But for this year, I think they're fine. In New Orleans, it's a completely different story. I'll probably anger some people with this, but I've always thought that Drew Brees was overrated. I always thought that team was a finesse, speed, dome team, and that I would put Drew Brees in Class B of the NFL quarterbacks, but I would not put him in Class A. He's never seemed like – he just never had that smart part of the game to me, the complete control of the offense. It was always just a smoke and mirror show to me. It was, you know, similar to the 99 Rams, where it's spectacular to watch, great if you have them in fantasy, and they're going to be a nice, fast offensive team. And when they came up against an inferior Colts team, they were able to get a Super Bowl. But, you know, that year, I don't think they win it. Their defense didn't play as well as they did, at least turnover-wise, to that playoff stretch. So, you know, New Orleans is kind of caught in between. I don't think they have enough pieces around. And I don't think that, Drew Brees is going to be there much longer. So they're going to have to start a slow couple-year rebuild here now.
Yeah, so it must be tough for you to say nice things about Peyton Manning after all these years, but I appreciate the fact that you can recognize that he is actually a real commander out there. I totally agree with that. He is definitely one of the best, and I think that he's just a different quarterback now. And Joey, you mentioned the 6 TDs, the 7 INTs. I think that's indicative of what this Broncos team has become. And you also mentioned this. They are a defensive team now. They are not an offensive team. They get traded away Julius Thomas. I mean, they're relying on still some really great wide receivers, but their ground game has completely stalled. C.J. Anderson and Ronnie Hillman have completely fallen off a cliff. They were relying almost exclusively on their defense, which actually is fine. You know, I mean, this is something to consider here, is that you can be very successful as a team with a great defense and a conservative offense. In fact, Manning – should know this better than anybody, because they actually beat such a team in the Super Bowl in 2007, and that's the Chicago Bears, who were a great defense in that year, but a very middling, conservative offense run by one of the worst quarterbacks in NFL history, Rex Grossman. And they also lost to such a team in the Super Bowl just 2 years ago as the Seattle Seahawks. You know, they had one of the best defenses in the NFL, and their offense was actually very, very conservative. They had Marshawn Lynch that they moved the chains. Russell Wilson was more of a game manager at that time. He actually didn't go for big plays, and they were able to really dominate there. So I think that Manning doesn't need to even play above average to win games. He can just kind of cruise through on as a game manager, as a field commander, as you say, and make those reads and keep them in games. Just take better care of the ball. Now, the 7 INTs are definitely a concern of mine, but I think that he can overcome that with being a little more careful with the ball. Now, Breeze, and I'm going to jump on the bandwagon here and keep kicking the dead horse. I think really he's done. And unfortunately, they don't have anybody else. Luke McCown is obviously not the answer. He is a lifetime backup. He will continue to be a backup. There's really nothing you can say here. And one of the biggest problems is that the Saints have one of the worst defenses in the NFL. They have a negative 40-point differential over the first five games. Rob Ryan is absolutely the worst defensive coordinator in the NFL. I don't know why he still has a job. They just need to do a complete house cleaning. And quite frankly, as you mentioned, Ryan, Breeze has no weapons whatsoever. I mean, when Willie Snead is your primary weapon because Brandon Cooks just can't get open, that's just not going to work. That's just not going to work. Any last thoughts from you guys? So you think that the Broncos are going to be successful this year with what they got, and the Saints are basically going to be done? Ryan?
I marginally successful. I think the Broncos eventually will I don't think this defense is as good as it looks so far through the first couple weeks. Anyone who knows me personally has heard me beating this drum for years. That I'm going to use the word again. I just used on Drew Brees. That Von Miller is the most overrated defensive player in the NFL. He's a guy who disappears in big games. And, you know, so I don't think that they're going to be long-term successful. But in a down year in the AFC, they got to be the second-best team right now, even with Manning playing this way.
And, Joey, what do you think? You think that this is the Broncos will continue to be successful and the Saints are going to be pretty much done for the year?
I think the Broncos will have a good regular season. Once they get to the playoffs, that's another story. Peyton, those seven interceptions you mentioned, I think you can attribute a lot of those to the offensive line. It has been very, very shaky. You've seen in some of the games, Peyton take those phantom sacks where he just goes to the ground instead of taking the hit from the defender, which is I don't mind seeing that. I don't want to see the guy get hurt at his age and everything. But, yeah, Denver will make some noise for the rest of the regular season. I don't know about the playoffs, and Saints are done.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's going to be very challenging. I also agree the offensive line has been terrible in Denver. I mean, you can tell because Manning doesn't have a lot of time. And worse yet, they have no ground game to speak of. C.J. Anderson probably being one of the biggest busts in the NFL so far this season. So that brings us to our new Jump the Snap speed round, where we're going to go through a couple questions and answers and get to the take from both of you guys. So I'm going to hit this first one to Ryan. Why are the kickers so bad in the NFL now?
Because they are so weak-minded. It is the most infuriating thing. I put it in one of my four-down territory articles. The fact that Mike Nugent is sitting there crying about the rule being set up for them to fail, and he can't remember another rule that's ever been set up for players to fail in the NFL. How about every single rule aimed against the defenses over the last 10 years, Nugent? You're a kicker. Kick the damn ball through the upright. It is unbelievable. They move the kick back 15 yards, and these guys can't hit a kick anymore. You got Matt Bryant, who's one of the, you know, Class B kickers in the NFL, missing two kicks last week indoors. Like, it is unbelievable to me that the only two people – actually, I'll even give your boy credit there. You know, Robbie Gould, Gostkowski, and Justin Tucker are about the only three kickers who should get any money. The rest of them should be doing it pro bono at this point.
And Joey, what are your thoughts? Why are the kickers so bad in NFL now?
Yeah, I agree with Ryan. Stop your complaining and kick the damn ball. You know, it's very, yep. very frustrating, especially when they're missing these PATs from 33 yards out. It was a walk in the park for these guys at the point. They're 30 years old, 35, 40, and they've been kicking for, what, almost their entire lives, and they can't hit a 33-yard point after? Come on.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I think that some of them have said that the new extra point rules are causing issues. But, you know, I think that kicking, and you guys have both alluded to this, is such a psychological game that bad simply begets bad. You know, you start seeing a lot of missed field goals, and you start thinking it's harder than it really is. Then you try to put too much leg into it, and you pull it or you push it, and suddenly you're playing pinball with the uprights. So I certainly think that it's a psychological game. People are seeing it. They start to feel it, and you know, they start to go downhill. But you're right. Kick the ball. That's your job. 33 yards is not that far.
And to jump in on that before we, you know, rapid fire something else, the psychological part, one of the coolest things I heard come out completely, just ran into this, came out last week, was they were doing an interview with Gostkowski, and he said that he hasn't checked the weather report in something like 2 or 3 years. Like, that's how confident he is. He doesn't even look at what the winds are, what the rain is. He just goes out there and he kicks the ball. And, you know, that's that confidence that you have to have. You just have to believe in yourself. You can't sit here and make this like a scientific study before you even get on the field.
That's a great point. So, moving on to the next question, and this one, Joey, we're going to go to you first. Who is your current pick to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl?
Well, I got the Packers. They played great. Aaron Rodgers. He's Aaron Rodgers. He's been playing like the MVP from last year. You still got Eddie Lacy on the ground. They lost Jordy Nelson, but it's still Rodgers. He's been throwing to James Jones, who my Giants let go, of course, at the end of the preseason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every announcer on Monday night and Sunday night football won't let us forget that. So, yeah, we are well aware of James Jones being cut from the Giants.
Yeah, so out of the Packers, out of the weak NFC. So,
okay. And, Ryan, your thoughts. NFC, who's going to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl?
You know, everybody's saying the Packers, so I kind of wanted to go off the, you know, off the beaten path here a little bit. Up until last week, sorry, Joey, I wanted to say the Giants. I picked up the Giants defense in about 3 different leagues and played them and sat there ripping my hair out on Sunday night, completely frustrated. So I'm going to move off that pick, but I'm going to go with Arizona. I think that they've built the team the right way. I think that's a good defense. I think it's a defense that travels, so whether they have to go Lambeau or not, I think it's going to be them and Green Bay in the NFC Championship, and I think Bruce Arians is finally getting the credit he deserves for the coach that he is.
I love him.
Well, that's all interesting. I think that Arizona is a really good pick as well, but you know, I'm going to have to go with Joey here and go with the Green Bay Packers, and I hate myself for saying that, being a Bears fan. But, you know, I sat down and tried to make a case for the Falcons, actually, because I really do think they're for real. But they do have a couple key injuries, and I've yet to figure out how Matt Ryan's going to manage that or whether not having Julio Jones at all will be an issue. And if you look at the defensive numbers, you know, it's true that with the Green Bay Packers, you have Aaron Rodgers, and basically you can stop the analysis right there. But if you look at the defense, it is crazy good. The Packers defense, second most sacks in the NFL of 20, leading to 111 negative yards for opposing offenses, second most interceptions in the NFL of 8, and the second least passing yards allowed per game at 186. They are a significant force, and it's not just offense, it's defense. So I really do, unfortunately, think that the Green Bay Packers will make it to the Super Bowl and represent the NFC. So now, switching over to the AFC side, your favorite side, Ryan, who is your current pick to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl? Don't keep us in suspense. What a shock.
And, It's for so many reasons. You know, a lot of people around here called Sunday an underwhelming win for New England, that it was a kind of a boring 30-6 blowout, has been the terms that people have been throwing around. And I couldn't disagree more, because the people that are saying that are the same people that criticized that 07 high-flying offense for years, the same people that criticized them in 2010, in 2011, when they were built as a high-speed finesse offense that relied on people like Aaron Hernandez and little Danny Woodhead, and Randy Moss, This offense just showed you last week why this team is going to win the Super Bowl and be the first team since 03 and 04 to win back-to-back. Not only is that defense improving with you know, anchored down by Hightower and Jamie Collins, you have an offense that came out and got smacked in the mouth in the first half. Rob Marinelli had a great game plan. The Cowboys came out on a mission. Greg Hardy, you know, for as much of a horrible, despicable human being he is, came out and you know, showed that he missed the field for 19 games and was, you know, I mean, emotionally, so he was ready for this game. And came out, and they played aggressive. What did the Patriots come out in the second half and do? Figured it out. And that's something they couldn't do with all those finesse offenses in the past. This offense is so dynamic. This offense is so tough. And we saw it in the Super Bowl last year, Edelman taking that hit from Cam Chancellor getting up. You got Gronkowski throwing people off him, the pick routes, the rub routes they run. You know, Keyshawn Martin looks like he might be a little bit of a steal here. And obviously, Deion Lewis is probably the biggest steal of the offseason right next to Jabal Sheard. So I don't see anybody could bet against the Patriots at this point.
And Joey, your thoughts on the AFC representative in the Super Bowl. Who do you think is going to make it?
Yeah, I've got to definitely go Patriots here. I haven't seen in a few years here a team dominate the way they've been dominating here lately. It's scary, actually. The confidence has been, like, exuding from the entire, like, Brady and Belichick. That's probably my favorite duo. I have Coughlin and Eli. That's a nice little duo there, but I love Brady and Belichick. A lot of people hate them. I can't do it. They're just so great together.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm with both you guys. The New England Patriots are the house, and you never bet against the house. So like it or not, those Pats are going to be in the Super Bowl again this year. So we're running a little short, so let's just hit one more question. And actually, this is in relation to the Monday night game, the direct snap to Le'Veon Bell with 5 seconds left on the goal line. Was that smart, or is that just lucky? Joey, thoughts?
I think it was really ballsy there by Mike Tomlin. Direct snap to win the game. That really caught the defense off guard. I bet they weren't expecting that. So I think it's a combination of both luck and just pure genius. Yeah.
All right. And Ryan, your thoughts. Direct snapping the ball, Le'Veon Bell, 5 seconds left. Smart or lucky?
Le'Veon Bell is the real deal. He's a freak. He is everything as advertised and consistently in and out. You know, someone that you probably thought when you first saw him that might fall off at some point, never did. With that said, even as bad as Michael Vick is, you roll the ball out there. You let Vick run if he needs to. He has the running option. You have a mobile quarterback, and you call the pass play. It's lucky it worked. Congrats to them. I just don't think in the modern NFL you run the ball in that situation.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because 5 seconds is not a lot of time. Now, I think they had a timeout left, but they probably wouldn't have time to call it if the play ended up not getting into the end zone. But, you know, one thing that's interesting to note is that if they had watched Super Bowl 49, they might have remembered what happened to the Seahawks and thought, you know what, let's just give it to our guy. Le'Veon Bell is the biggest guy on our team that's going to be the biggest force in our team, and let's let him take it. And it worked out for them. So, yeah, I think Joey is right. It's smart, but it's a little bit luck as well. So we're running down on time here, guys. Thanks for joining us this week. Ryan, tell us your Twitter handle so we can all follow you.
Yeah, I'll go. At Ryan Whitfield, N-E.
Okay. And Joey, your Twitter handle so we can follow you.
Yeah, I'm just at Joey Libro.
All right, so follow both Ryan and Joey, and then check us out on footballgarbagetime.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at FBGarbageTime. And until next time, enjoy the rest of the NFL week, and we'll see you again next week when we discuss more issues, this time from Week 6 of the NFL. Until then, signing off for all of us here at Football Garbage Time.